is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host and the producer of the show. Today I'm talking about a publication called Journal of Inkling Studies. I thought the best way to do that is to have the co-founding editors of the Journal of Inkling Studies join me. They are Dr. Judith Wolf and Brendan Wolf. Welcome to the show, Judith and Brendan.
Thank you for having us.
Now, because this is my first time discussing this scholarly journal on All About Jack, let's begin by having a description about it. My audience is obviously familiar with Lewis, and most have read more than just the Narnia stories, and if they've paid close attention to my shows, they should know what inklings mean, but a good many may likely have never heard of your publication, so tell me about it.
The Journal of Inkling Studies is a journal of articles and book reviews, published by the Oxford C.S. Lewis Society in collaboration with the Charles Williams Society, the Owen Barfield Literary Estate, and the G.K. Chesterton Library, which is housed in Oxford. The journal is meant as a high-quality academic engagement with those subject authors who comprise the Inklings, the literary circle of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and so forth. It was really conceived because we found that the academy, particularly perhaps in the UK, was quite averse to talking about Lewis and Tolkien as theologically relevant people. Many academics read them in their spare time, but they seem to be reluctant to admit that they could have an academic interest in them. And so we're very keen to show what academic engagement with those people, not just by Lewis scholars, but also by people whose main areas are perhaps not C.S. Lewis or Tolkien or Williams studies, but theology, literature, philosophy more generally, can look like. We focus on three main areas. One is archival research. This means publishing manuscripts that are not yet published by our subject authors, as well as archival materials that that shed light on them. The second is critical engagement with their thought, in the sense of examining their ideas from contemporary perspectives, seeing what contemporary research can bring to bear on those things and perhaps what their ideas can bring to bear on contemporary issues. And then the third one is implications and consequences, trying to think creatively and fruitfully with the work of those authors. And again, to see how it can be fruitful both within the academy and in the world more widely in our time.
Now, how long has the Journal of Inkling Studies existed, and tell us more about how it came to be?
Sure. It began in 2005 as the newsletter of the Oxford C.S. Lewis Society. The Oxford C.S. Lewis Society has been meeting since 1982 in Oxford, every week during term time, and there have been speakers every week, many of them drawn from among the Inklings in the early years and from those who knew them. The Society has had an internal newsletter for a while, and in 2005 I took over as the editor and thought that it would be worthwhile to expand it into a journal for an outside audience, partly in order to be able to publish some of the best talks that were given at the Society and also to provide a wider platform for academic engagement with Lewis. In 2011, I believe it was, that we then expanded that into the Journal of Inkling Studies by founding collaborations with these other bodies, and by having a stronger relationship to the Bodleian Library, which holds much of Lewis's archival material.
Well, now, as noted, the two of you are the editors. Let us have you both tell more about yourselves, especially in relation to Lewis and the Inklings.
Well, we both work in disciplines, academic disciplines, related to those which the Inklings either studied themselves or at least wrote on. My own work academically is in the field of Germanic philology, which was also Tolkien's research interest. That is to say, I look at the early Germanic languages, Old English, Old Norse, Gothic, etc., and think about linguistic commonalities between them and between them and other languages. On top of that, I look at the literature and the history of the periods in which these languages were spoken. This is a very similar background, as I say, to Tolkien, also to the kind of education that Lewis received in parts of his academic career and was an interest shared with Owen Barfield. I taught Lewis and Tolkien at Oxford to visiting students for many years, and was previously president of the Lewis Society in Oxford. So there was a sort of background of engagement with the Inklings academically prior to coming to the journal.
And I've always been a reader of Lewis, probably like many people. I was very deeply influenced by Lewis growing up. I remember as a teenager, I would always rather reread a book by Lewis than read a new book. But it wasn't until I studied theology that I realized that he had a distinctive theological voice. I always just assumed that he was the voice of all Christians, really. And it was very interesting for me to see in studying theology how much he had to contribute, particularly to theology today, which is often very differently minded. And so I began an academic interest in Lewis, particularly in trying to find what it was about Lewis's theological vision that was unique and enriching for theology today. And I thought that an academic journal was a very good addition to the publication market on Lewis, because it allowed such small scale and in-depth engagements with particular aspects.
Now, at the time we're recording, the current issue is Volume 5, Number 2, with a publication date of October 2015. So tell our listeners what they can expect to read in this issue.
Well, a typical issue, of which this is a good example, includes both articles and book reviews. In this issue, we have four excellent articles treating things to do with Lewis and Tolkien, as well as Owen Barfield, looking at a text by Owen Barfield that hasn't been much examined. The article I could say the most about, though, is by Nelson Goering, and talks about the metrical dimension of Tolkien's poetry, especially his alliterative poetry. So he took a verse form common to Old Norse, Old English, and some of those languages that I mentioned earlier, called alliterative verse, which of course is based upon alliteration rather than rhyme. And he used it for much of his best-known poetry in modern English. Alliterative verse has some more complicated rules, at least in the original language, than just containing alliteration, to do with stresses and metrical feet. And what Nelson Goering does is explore the adaptations that Tolkien found necessary to make this ancient form of poetry work in our modern language.
The three other main articles, and I won't go into any depth about them, are about Lewis's medieval model and literary view. This is an article that tries to work through Lewis's discarded image and see how the medieval views that he expresses and discusses there feature in his own literary writings. One on entitled The Science of Saruman, which is about the question of modern science and its relationship to figures like Saruman and Gandalf's relationships to or approaches to knowledge. And one about Owen Barfield's play Orpheus, which was performed a while ago but hasn't had much attention recently. And a Barfield scholar discusses his play Orpheus here. Then, of course, there are the regular book reviews.
Well, now, time won't permit to go into all the previous issues, so if I may, could you maybe take a moment to tell about some of the special issues you've done?
Yes, very gladly. We try to do special issues once in a while, either when we've had a lot of submissions on a similar field, or when there have been conferences about something and it seems a good idea to pull together the papers, or indeed when we simply think that something needs to be treated in more detail. So the last three special issues that we did were on the Inklings and the Bible, medieval literature in the Inklings, and the debate between Elizabeth Anscombe and C.S. Lewis. The thing that we're perhaps most proud of in the special issue on the Bible is that we finally, after several years of negotiations, that we were finally allowed to publish J.R.R. Tolkien's original translation of the Book of Jonah, which he did for the Jerusalem Bible, and which indeed appeared in the Jerusalem Bible, the Catholic Bible edition of earlier in the 20th century. But it was very heavily edited when it finally appeared in that Bible. And the original differs in a lot of respects from the published version. So the original is in the Bodleian. We transcribed it, and it's here published with a long research article by Brendan about its genesis and about its features. The special issue on medievalism as Christian apologetics is the title of it in the Inklings, came out of a conference on that topic, and has a lot of discussions of the various Inklings and how they use medievalism, so a harking back to the Middle Ages, as a kind of defense of Christianity by literary scholars and theologians. And the Lewis and Anscombe issue is perhaps my favorite of all the issues we've done recently. It's an in-depth look at the Anscombe-Lewis debate from philosophical and theological perspectives, trying to get a grip on what really was at issue in the debate and how we can move forward. This has more recently been augmented by the publication in our book C.S. Lewis and His Circle, which I think Roger White, our co-editor, talked about with you a few weeks ago, of the final paper that Elizabeth Anscombe gave about that debate at the C.S. Lewis Society. So hopefully all those things together will provide a much better basis now for evaluating and moving forward with the debate than we had before.
Yes, indeed. I did speak with Roger. It was now a couple months ago, but I'll provide a link in the show notes for people to easily find that. Well, now, not long ago, you also did your first Inkling Studies supplements. This first one dealt with the Great War between Barfield and Lewis. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, the Inkling Studies supplement is a new venture that we started this year, as you say. And the idea of the supplements is to take larger manuscripts that don't fit into a regular issue of the journal by our subject authors and publish them as freestanding publications with substantial introductions. So the first one that we did is the so-called Great War between C.S. Lewis and Owen Barfield. This is the title that they gave to a long correspondence between 1925 and 1930. This is a series of letters, of small treatises, that they wrote to each other, trying to hammer out their views on the relationship between reason and the imagination, particularly the power of reason or imagination to apprehend truth. And unlike Owen Barfield, who thought that the imagination could reach truths that reason could not, Lewis was very adamant that the imagination was not an organ for truth, but rather for meaning, as he called it, and that it's subject to the controls of reason. So these, of course, are early views before Lewis became a Christian, but they very much provide the foundation for much of what he wrote later, to do with reason and imagination. Some of those letters are published as an appendix in the third volume of the collected letters of C.S. Lewis. They're an appendix because even those letters are quite technical, and when the first volume of the letters were published, the editors weren't sure whether they weren't too technical for people. By the third volume, they decided to include some of them as an appendix, but the more substantial writings have never been published. I first read them in the Bodleian 15 years or so ago, the Bodleian Library in Oxford, that is, and thought that they had to be published. They still hadn't been published 15 years later, so we decided to do it ourselves. And there's a lengthy philosophical introduction by an excellent German Lewis scholar, Norbert Feinendegen, and he and Aaron Smilde have edited the text together meticulously. So that's a really wonderful scholarly resource. The next one we're doing, hopefully in February of 2016, will be Warney Lewis's memoir of Jack, which he wrote shortly after Jack's death. Now, as some of you may know, the first letters of C.S. Lewis, edited by Warney, were published not too long after Lewis's death. What fewer people know is that, in fact, Warney was writing an about 40,000-word memoir of his brother and wanted the letters merely to illustrate some of the things that he was saying in the memoir and to augment it. But when it came to the publisher decided that really they wanted mainly the letters, and they radically cut Warney's narrative. We've now transcribed that narrative, and that's going to be the next issue of the Inkling Studies supplements, as I say, hopefully available in February of next year.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah, I was definitely aware of that and wondered, but had never looked into the possibility of how that might get published, and I'm anxious to see that come to pass here. Of course, since this is a recording, maybe if for those who are listening to this later, it is out, so be sure to explore that. In fact, that works right into the next question. That is, where can people find your journal online to buy, and what can they access on the web?
The journal has a new website. The address is inklings-studies.org. That's where one can buy subscriptions. We offer both online-only subscriptions to all the content online and online and print subscriptions. The journal appears twice a year. Obviously, it's easy enough to buy single issues as well. We offer a dedicated service to library subscribers who can subscribe via IP recognition for unlimited use on campus. Almost all articles are, as I say, subscription only. However, we also have a full section of free book reviews. We publish all our book reviews online for free on open access, just as a service to the Lewis community. So our book reviews are all freely available. And as I say, all purchases, including of the Inkling Study supplements, can be made via the website.
Well, now, you already mentioned about a second forthcoming Inkling Study supplements, but how about the journal itself? What do you have in store for the upcoming issue?
Well, there are many things, of course, coming down the line. One that I think is worth noting is that a large biography of Charles Williams has just been published by Greville Lindon. That biography represents the first significant new biographical study of Williams in many, many years. And it's clear that it's something to which the community of Williams scholars, the community of Inkling scholars, will be reacting to for some time. So our intention is to publish a symposium in print of reactions to this biography by a number of prominent Williams scholars. So I won't give names now, because of course some of the people have only been asked and not necessarily had the time to do the work yet, but there should be reflections by quite a few people of great value on what this work brings to our knowledge of Williams, and on whether reevaluations of things we had thought about Williams are necessitated by it.
We're also publishing a short story by G.K. Chesterton, with his illustrations, which are lovely, and an introduction by a Chesterton scholar, and a beautiful article by Tony Cockshutt, who was a student of Lewis's, entitled C.S. Lewis in Postwar Oxford, which I'm looking forward to.
Ah, very interesting. Well, I've enjoyed talking with the two of you. Let us go ahead and wrap up, though. If you could end with either or both of you summarizing why a person should consider reading the Journal of Inkling Studies.
Oh, well, one finds such a question perhaps somewhat difficult to answer, since it's been our project for so long. But it seems to me that Lewis and Tolkien professionally, Barfield and Williams by interest and by publication, were themselves academics. They were professional members of the academy, and much of their engagement with the world took place through the particular constraints and strictures that academic thought has to undergo. And so they are a subject that is actually quite ripe to be treated academically as we do. And a certain amount of what their work contains can only be engaged with on that kind of academic level. So effectively, we hope that we're opening a window, or keeping open a window, into their work that might otherwise go unlooked through.
Yes, I agree with all of that, of course. I think that, as I think I mentioned to Lancia Smith a few weeks ago, I think that Lewis studies in particular, and Tolkien studies, of course, is undergoing a kind of transition at the moment, from a first and second generation perspective, where people who knew them were at the forefront of the scholarship on them, and people who, as second-generation readers, appreciated what they were doing. But they've now moved to a point where they've become classics, really, and we are a third generation who didn't know them, who barely know the people who knew them, And it's really up to us to be carrying forward thought about their work and the legacy of their work into a new era. And so I think that it's particularly important now to be working through their thought in confrontation with what has changed since they wrote, to be taking their thought critically and creatively with an eye to seeing how it can be fruitful for the next generation. This journal is very much an attempt to do that and to engage other people in doing the same, which is our hope for the readers, and also, of course, our hope for those who are listening to the program and might be inclined to submit articles, a very hearty encouragement to submit articles to the journal. As I say, it's peer-reviewed. We try to come to publication decisions within 8 weeks of receiving your submission. And of course, the conversation lives from the engagement of as many as possible. So please do consider that.
Very good then. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with the two of you. Thanks, Judith and Brendan, for being with me on All About Jack.
Thank you very much for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
Our pleasure.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, and thank you for listening to this chat with Judith and Brendan, co-editors of Journal of Inkling Studies, which is published by the Oxford C.S. Lewis Society. You can check the show notes for a link to their site, as well as a direct link to their subscription page. Additionally, because there was a mention of the interview I did with Dr. Roger White about a book released earlier this year from Oxford University Press entitled C.S. Lewis and His Circle, Essays and Memoirs from the Oxford C.S. Lewis Society, I will have a direct link to that as well. You can get to the show notes by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllaboutJack.podbean.com. Again, that's AllaboutJack.podbean.com. If you go to the other location, EssentialCSLewis.com, you can still get to this podcast, but over there I also have a variety of articles as well, including a series examining quotations alleged to be from C.S. Lewis. You may not be surprised, but not every quote attributed to him on the internet actually was one that he wrote. I hope you enjoyed today's show enough to want to share it. Also, feel free to leave comments about this program online and consider listening to other shows. Recent ones at the time I'm releasing this podcast have been several programs to celebrate the fact that 2015 is the 65th anniversary of the publication of the first Narnia story. This includes a podcast for each of the Narnia books with a different special guest. Then I just started re-releasing my series from 2012 on the Narnia Code with Dr. Michael Ward that had Dr. Holly Ordway as a co-host. Again, you can hear those and other shows by either going to EssentialCSLewis.com or AllaboutJack.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments, you can email me, info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, that email address is info@EssentialCSLewis.com. Finally, did you know that you can help make sure this podcast is freely available to all? Consider becoming a financial supporter of this podcast to make sure it continues. There's a link in the show notes about this. Contributions can be as little as a dollar a month. There are some great rewards possible, and no long-term commitment is necessary.